So I got to tell you this as an insider kind of information type of thing. So I was talking with some pastors and we were evaluating whether or not Christmas Day being on a Sunday is a good thing for the church or a bad thing for the church. Isn't that fascinating? Like I'm almost embarrassed to admit that to you, that pastors actually have these kind of conversations, and I was part of one. And so we were trying to decide, you know, attendance-wise, what will that do? And, you know, people spend a lot of money at Christmas. How will giving be? And, you know, will people really be focused on the things of God and be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is leading them to know and even potentially do in response to God's leading and prompting the pastors of the churches? And so anyway, I stepped away from that conversation and I thought, is this not crazy? I mean, is there a better day to celebrate the birth of our Savior than on a day that we've become accustomed to join together and worship Him on? You know, it's like the perfect day, you know, for Sunday to do that. Now, I know we've all got schedules that we want to keep today. We've got household traditions that many of us have established for years and years and years that we want to maintain. I think that's marvelous. But think about this for a second with me. Maybe next year we ought to have a little bit of a time of worship in our home when Christmas falls on a Monday, just as we did today on a Sunday, right? Maybe we need to kind of set aside the gifts and the packages and the great food and the candy and all that great stuff and just say, thank you, God, for sending us your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that He would be born of a woman, a virgin woman. You give us this great gift on Christmas Day. We're not going to forget that. We're going to remember that, and we're going to worship you today from our home. I think that would be a great move. And I've been really grateful for the very creative people who helped me prepare series, sermon series, and even messages. We have some absolutely brilliant people. And so back in July, they came up with an idea to do a theme called Joy to the World. And quite frankly, I had a little bit of hesitation because it's a hymn. It's not actually scripture. And so we did some pretty thorough investigation and research, and this is what we discovered. The song Joy to the World that we sing every Christmas season was never written to be a Christmas time song. It's actually taken out of Psalm 98. And a guy named Isaac Watts, in 1719, he wrote the song. Isaac Watts is known as the father of hymns. He was one of the first English hymn writers, and he wrote like 750 songs. Many of them we still sing today, Joy to the World being one of them. But it was never meant to be sung only at Christmas. It's actually a song to celebrate the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and how everything will change when He returns. But through our research and through our study, here's where we arrived, that it is very applicable to the celebration that we observe at Christmas time, celebrating the birth of a Savior. Because without that birth, there would be no death. And without that death, there would be no resurrection. And with no resurrection, we would not experience changed life through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So quite frankly, it's been an amazing journey for me over the last several weeks, studying God's Word, applying the words of this song, finding where they're taken from, using Scripture within the context and the exact meaning that I believe it was written in to apply it to the day that we're celebrating today. So what I want to do is I want to take you back to that announcement that the angel makes in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. Luke chapter 2, feel free to use a pew Bible in front of you. It will be on the screen. Don't feel forced to do that. And for those of you that are into technology, we talked about this in our house this morning. Technology is where it's at now. So for those of you that want to use technology, don't be playing the new video games that you got today. Be looking at the Bible with me, all right? Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12 together, just as an opportunity to look back at exactly what this angel of the Lord announces to the shepherds. Here are the words that that Luke is writing and that the angel shares with those shepherds. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I want you to know this morning that this is not just another Christmas story. This is not imaginary. It's not just optimistic. It's not wishful thinking. It's real. In fact, Luke, who is a doctor, an educated individual who certainly has done his own research before penning the words that God divinely inspires him to write about the life of Jesus, before writing these words and sharing the words shared by this angel as God tells him to write them down. I'm sure that this good doctor, Luke, made sure that what he's sharing with you is factual information. Luke's convinced that it's not only true, it's real, and it's good news. So what is the good news? Well, first of all, we see by what he says that it happens on a real day, right? This isn't an imaginary time, as I just said. This isn't once upon a time kind of story. It's a true day. It's a real day. It is on a calendar. It happened in a very real time, and it happened in the exact day and way that God deemed it to happen before you ever existed, right? Before the very beginning of mankind, God had already planned for a Savior to be born. This is a challenging concept, so stay with me as I try to explain this. God knew that mankind would fall and sin. And Jesus was never plan B. Jesus was always plan A for him. He knew through his omniscience that man would sin, so he always intended for a Savior to be born to us. And today is the day that we celebrate that birth. It's a very real day. One of the evidences that we have to show that or prove that is at the beginning of Luke chapter 2, he actually writes who's in charge. He writes about how Caesar Augustus is the emperor of Rome and how Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Well, if you look back to that period of time, you're going to find out that was true. The time that's documented as Jesus' birth, which, by the way, is what our whole calendar system is based upon right now with A.D. being after the death, or it's actually a different Latin phrase. But we know that whole time frame kicked in when Jesus was born, celebrating that particular event. So it's a real day. And it's a real day that was planned by Jesus for Jesus. We find that to be true when we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is what Paul tells us there. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This is a mind-blowing concept. Jesus ordered the day that he would be born according to the perfect plan that he had for him to join us on earth. It was ordered by him and for him. And we get to celebrate that day today because of that scheduling process that Christ had to come and be Savior of the world. So we see this today. And then that passage goes on to say, in the town of David. Here's the second portion of the good news that we hear about from this Christmas story, that it's a real place, right? This isn't a made-up town. It's not the land of Oz. It's not Bedford Falls. It's not even Narnia. This wasn't a made-up place or a pretend story. It's not even a parable that God's using as an illustration for us to understand something better. It's a real day, and it happens in a real place. Bethlehem is located 6 miles away from Jerusalem. You can visit it today. That's how real this place is. And today, when you have an opportunity to consider that it's not only a documented point of time, but it happens in a documented place that you can still visit, it really helps you and I to understand what's being shared here. It's a very real fact that Jesus is born in real time and in a real place. And in fact, they shouldn't have been surprised about it back then, because the prophet Micah actually wrote 800 years or thereabout before the birth of Jesus exactly where he would be born. Listen to what he says in Micah 5:2, the Lord speaking, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times." He's describing Jesus being born in Bethlehem some 800 years before it happens. So the people of God in that particular time frame when Jesus is born, they have that prophecy, that prediction that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. You would think that they'd be looking at Bethlehem going, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And the Bible doesn't document anybody expecting it to happen in Bethlehem at that time. Do you know why? Because people had forgotten to anticipate this incredible event, this incredible birth that's being given to them. That's what I hope we don't do. I hope that even though Christmas falls on a Sunday today and we're accustomed to going to church on Sunday, that when it falls on a Monday through Saturday, that we don't forget to anticipate the incredible opportunity that God gives us to celebrate the birth of the Savior, because he was born in a real time and in a real place. And it happened in a real town. And it not only happened in a real place, something amazing is being given to you on this Christmas morning. The Bible says today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Notice to who? To you. Who's you? Well, you are the people who are reading this today. You may not have thought of this morning, but when you got up this morning and you got dressed and whatever you did to get ready, we had monkey bread and we had fruit and we had, I don't know, all this kind of great food that Cindy prepared for us in anticipation of coming to church. But whatever you did, here's what God knew. God knew that you would come here today before you came. God knew the challenges that you would face in deciding whether or not you were going to be here. And God had already prepared for you to hear a message that he's actually speaking to you right here, right now, because he knew that you would be here. So he wants you to know that this Savior was born to you in a real time. He was born in a real place, and he was given to you as a person who now has an opportunity to decide what you're going to do with the information that God's sharing with you today. You and I, we watch a lot of TV, and you may even read some books, and I love stories of superheroes. I'm a Marvel fan. I get a kick out of the movies, and Corinne and I go to just about all of them, and I enjoy it. I love the theme of a superhero. But what makes a Savior different from a superhero is at any point of time in your life, you may not need a superhero, right? But you do need a Savior. You need a Savior because your sin separates you from your Creator. Right? Keep that in mind. Everyone who is hearing what I'm saying today needs a Savior. You may or may not need a superhero in this exact time and this exact moment, but you all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1:21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Right? You may or may not need a superhero, but you definitely need a Savior, and your Savior has come. We're celebrating his birth today together. He's come to die on the cross for your sins as he grew up and to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to God. So he came to be with us. He came to be present with us. He came to exist among us, to dwell among us and to be here as a real individual. And there are a couple reasons why he probably chose to do that. First and foremost, he wants you to know that he's real. He's not imaginary. So hundreds of people saw him and encountered Jesus in the flesh. The second reason that he came to be among us is so that he could demonstrate how a life could be lived to honor God. And his goal was to not only die so that your sins could be forgiven, but to lead you to live a God-honoring life. He not only saves us, he changes us when we place our faith and trust in him. In fact, the Bible goes on to tell us this good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, right? The true and promised Messiah. He came to bless you today. Today he wants to make his presence known to you. And that word Messiah, it actually can be translated in some of the translations that you may be using this morning as the word Christ. That's probably the word that we're more familiar with. The Jewish people are more familiar with Messiah because he had been greatly anticipated. And they had waited a long time for a Messiah to come. And unfortunately, many of the Jewish people still today are waiting for Messiah. But Messiah has come. Messiah or Christ, the word that's used in the original language is Christos. And Christos means anointed one. And anointed one means Messiah. They are one and the same. Christ is Messiah. Messiah is Christ. And Jesus fulfills both appointments here. Everything that you will ever need in this life comes from Christ. Everything. You may not have really realized that before you came here. And part of the evidence of us not realizing that is our pursuit of things outside of Christ. Right, we pursue things that we think will bring us pleasure or that we need. But quite frankly, the Bible identifies Jesus Christ as the giver of life, as the sustainer of life, and as the provider for anything that you will ever need. So the promise of Christ is really a promise of provision. Christ came to die for you so that you can have this incredible relationship with him, which really means a day-by-day walk. A relationship with the one who's able to do exceedingly above anything that you would ever ask or imagine. His gifts for you are better than you even know to ask for, even on this Christmas morning. Isn't that amazing that this gift is known of, it's documented, and yet so many don't realize what comes with the gift of Christ because he is the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us this: for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So here's what Paul's describing that's supposed to happen: that every promise that God has for you as an individual is made possible through Christ, and your appropriate response would be amen to that. So be it. Yes, that is so. I believe it to be true. And that's where joy comes during this holiday season. When you recognize that everything that you will ever need has been provided to you through Christ, what is there to worry about? What concern can we have? Yeah, it doesn't mean things are going to go always very well. In fact, I've found the Christian life to be a challenging one. I think in some ways I face more challenge and more hardship as a believer because of the warfare, the spiritual aspect of believing and the enemy not wanting us to do the things that God would want us to do. There are more challenges that come with being a believer sometimes than not being a believer, but there's not more joy. There's not more blessing. There's not fulfilled promise according to what God tells us that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's the truth, right? So don't leave here today without receiving the blessings and the promises that come with knowing him as Messiah. Because today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, He is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. The true Lord has come to lead you today. He doesn't want to just be available to you. I believe that the Lord really wants to take control of your life and to lead you to experience everything that he desires for you to experience in and through him. Think about who this is. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the sovereign ruler, which means he is the one over everything. He has final say with anything and everything that you will ever experience in this lifetime. He is completely in control. He is Almighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of the universe. And he was born to give you new life. And so today, when we celebrate Christmas, we don't celebrate, something that happened a long time ago. You and I celebrate the experience that we're currently having with a Jesus that loves you so much. He goes, I don't want to be away. I want to be inside. I don't want to live across the street from you. I want to be part of your everyday life. I want to be your joy. I want to be your everlasting. I want you and I to walk through the hardships and the challenges and even some of the great experience that we're going to have together until that day comes that you and I get to meet face to face. And then wait till you see what I have for you then, right? That's what we get to experience now because of the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. This is an incredible event. This is a life-changing opportunity for you and I to see. So let's go back and do a real quick review. What is the good news of great joy? Today, a real day in real history, in a real town, in a real place, and in a very real way, the true Savior came to save us from the consequences of our sin. The true Messiah, Christ, came to fulfill all our hopes through God's promises and blessings. The true Lord, our King, came to defeat all our enemies, including death, by the way, forever, and now to lead us in his ways. So I present to you on this Christmas day, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And I invite you to celebrate with me this incredible opportunity to recognize God's done all the work for you to know an incredible life that lies just ahead of you when you follow him. You know, the Bible goes on to say that the angels actually heard more than just this message from the one angel. The message that we just read was actually presented by an angel of the Lord. But look what happens next in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." Apparently, it only takes one angel to make an announcement, the angel of the Lord. But one angel does not suffice when it comes to the response of that announcement, right? That's what I love about the audience that we have here today. This morning, literally hundreds of people have come to hear a message, and you have an opportunity to respond in the exact same way that these angels responded when they heard the announcement. They go, "Glory to God in the highest." I mean, these angels are giddy. Now, angels, think about this. Their day-to-day existence is a little bit different than ours. Right, they're in a little better place, a little better environment, a little more positivity there, probably a whole lot more joy. But they don't stay there and celebrate. What do? They go, "Did you just hear that? Did you just hear the angel of the Lord make that announcement? Let's go down there and celebrate with them." And this is what they say. This message, the life and the ministry of Jesus would bring. Glory to God in the highest. The Heavenly Father is greatly glorified by his Son. Right? The picture of Jesus being born is the unsurpassed excitement of the Father saying, "Now, finally, things will be made right. Finally, I can be reconciled with my people. Finally, they will know the way that I would have them to go through the power that I'm granting them through the Savior who will live a life, die a horrific death, be raised from the grave, and defeat death forever. They will be one with me. Finally, God himself is glorified through the manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth for all people. He's been made available to us. And here's the second promise that we have about the life and the ministry of Jesus. On earth, peace. Listen to me this morning. God's peace can rest on those who believe and follow Jesus Christ. That's the promise that comes through the celebration that these angels are suggesting that we join them in this morning, right? Think about the incredible promise of peace. I know things aren't going well for everyone that's listening today. In fact, I would be surprised if we didn't kind of divide us up into groups, that those that are saying, you know what, we've just had an incredibly great last few months. I mean, it's just been better than ever. If we took that group and set them to one side, and then we took the other group who said, it's been really tough. This has really been a hard time for me. In fact, part of the reason I'm here today is I don't know where else to turn, right? We took that group and we separated. I think that group would be much larger than the group that said, we've just had a really great last few months. Not that God isn't in all of that, but here's what I want you to see. The reason that God allows us to go through the things that that group is going through is so that we will learn to trust him and depend on him for everything. And there's an opportunity that these people have to rejoice in the blessing that God's giving them. And the interesting thing about this is these two groups will intermingle with one another from time to time, right? Who knows? 3 months from now, you may say, this has really been a great run for me. But even if it's not, even if it's the hardest time that you've experienced in a long time, do you know that God's in the middle of all of that? And he's orchestrating it, and he's organizing it. And he says, you know what, I'm going to work through this, allow you to work through this in such a way that I'm going to receive the glory. And do you know what you get to receive through it all, even though it's incredibly hard? His peace. That's exactly what these angels are celebrating. His peace now reigns on the earth, and it's available to you and I. Things aren't perfect now, but one day they will be perfect. And the prophet Isaiah tells us that in Isaiah 9:7. He says this, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, you and I can step away from that verse today and go, that's not happening today. It's not. There is an end to his greatness and his peace and his government as being observed by his people today. He's still got it. We just haven't observed it fully yet. It hasn't happened, but it will one day when he returns. This is his promise for you today. Romans 15:13. Paul prays this for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. These are the words of Jesus for you this morning. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Paul adds this in Ephesians 2, verse 14, when he says, for he himself is our peace. This means that the peace of God and the peace of Christ can never be separated from God. You will never experience true, pure peace void of Jesus Christ in your life. You may think you have it. You may experience moments that are like that, but peace comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the key to peace, keeping together what the angels keep together, glory to God, ushers in peace to man. A heart bent on showing the glory of God will know the peace of God and experience this true peace. God gets the glory, we get his peace. That's God's promise for you this morning. So I suggest to you today that the most basic need that you come here today with is the need for peace. Because peace will usher in joy. Joy always follows peace. So no matter what you're facing in this life, you can experience the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ through your faith and through your trust in him. Paul tells us to do that in Romans 5:1, where he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, I've added something to that verse in your outline. That's the pivotal act of believing. Do you see that? Paul doesn't say you just have it automatically. He says, here's how you receive it. You've been justified through faith. That's the pivotal act of believing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't miss that. If you're saying to me this morning, I've placed my faith in him, I've placed my trust in him, and I'm not experiencing true peace, then maybe this morning God's identified in your heart and in your life a little bit of a void. Because trust that comes with peace is saying to him, whatever you say is best is okay. I trust you enough to say whatever you say I need to go through, that's okay with me, provided you never leave me. Your strength and your guidance and your love and the hope that I have in you, you will get me through this. So I'm going to cling to you while you guide me through these experiences. And would you grant me your peace? And he promises that he will. You and I were justified, according to Paul, by the faith that we've given him, that we place in him. And because we have peace with God, because we've been justified by faith, we can begin to grow in our enjoyment of this peace. You don't have to carry anxiety or guilt or fear with you this morning. Paul says that in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, going to God, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you go to him and you trust him, you're given his peace. He will guide you. He will direct you in the way that he would have you to go for his glory. And peace and glory work in this incredible symbiotic way, all for the honor and glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I want you to respond in a way that would be appropriate, but also honoring to God. And as I search the scripture, me being transparent with you, I'm like looking, where's a place where we see that? Where's a place? I'm going through the epistles and I'm going through the New Testament. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's in the Old Testament. I'm looking in places where the prophets are speaking that when they're hearing this, they're responding in a positive way. Like maybe when Isaiah spoke or maybe when Micah spoke or maybe when Jeremiah spoke, that's good stuff. Well, how did they respond? Well, you know what I ended up doing? Going right back to the Christmas story. Listen to what he tells us in Luke 2, verses 17 and 18, and then verse 20. This is the way the shepherds respond. This is when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Folks, I want to close this morning by telling you that's my goal for you today, that the things that I've told you that you will experience, that they are true, that they are real. This happened in a real time. It happened in a real place. It happened with a real person, and that is the Savior that came to save you from your sins. He is the Messiah. He is Christ. He is the Lord, and he's come to save you. And if you place your faith and trust in him and believe in who the Bible says he is and who he told us that he is and who God the Father says that he is, you will experience his peace today despite the chaos and the calamity that you're surrounded by. Will you receive that today? Will you place your faith and trust in him and believe that God has given you this incredible gift? That is Jesus Christ. Because if you will, you can leave here changed this morning. Will you join me in this prayer? Father, I do ask that you speak to us now. And God, I'm asking that you would enter the hearts and the lives of those who are listening and right now believing. God, they're trusting. Right now, Lord, I'm asking you to speak to people who may never have believed before. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would now draw them to you, that they would feel this leading in their heart to place their personal faith and trust in you and to say to you, I have sinned. Forgive me for that sin. Jesus, come in and take over. Guide and direct my life in a way that's honoring and glorifying to you and grant me peace. And then, Lord, with that, some here today have done that before, but for whatever reason, they feel distant from you. Would you make your presence known to them in such a way that their lives will be transformed once again? That those three steps backwards that they just took would result in five steps forward, moving closer to you. Guide and direct their hearts in a way that brings you honor and glory, and grant them the peace that comes with walking closely with you. Father, today we want to say to you that we do believe. And because we believe, we do trust. And because we trust, we are recipients of your peace. May you be honored and glorified by the way that we leave here today, proclaiming to all, just as those shepherds did, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we praise you for this gift that is Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.